I'm Jean Marie Laskus. I'm a journalist. I spent my career helping Americans understand the lives of other Americans. Coal miners, gun shop clerks, staffers in the White House mailroom. In my new podcast, Cement City, I tell the story of an entire town. A dying town that you have absolutely no reason to care about. But trust me, you will. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
Shop Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Got some new polling out, too. Some swing state polling from the New York Times. And what's interesting about it is that if you look at where Trump was in 2016 and 2020, that means that Trump is doing even better than he is right now. So the polls undercount Trump. They undercount Trump's support. And I think he's doing even better. But if you were to factor in a couple things, if you were to factor in, and I'll get into this as the show goes on, the polling now, and then account for the errors of 2020, Trump is actually winning in every single swing state right now. Every single one. And if you don't account for those errors in 2020, he's winning in Georgia, Arizona, and he's even in North Carolina. But Wisconsin, Nevada, Michigan, Pennsylvania have Harris up one. But here's the point. If the polls today are like how they missed in 2020, and you factor that, you account for that, that means Trump is actually going to win Wisconsin, Nevada, Michigan, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Georgia, and Arizona. If you look at the polling right now, by the Electoral College vote, Kamala Harris will end up with 276 electoral votes and be the next president. If you factor in how the polls missed the way they did in 2020, Trump winds up with 312 electoral votes. I don't believe these polls are tied. I think Trump has a big lead in every single one of these states. I think Trump is going to do very well. I don't really think Wisconsin. I'm not really at all surprised by that, considering that Wisconsin has been changing demographically with a lot of frustration. But the message to farmers, and there's a lot of them there, matters a lot. I think this election right now is looking like, and I don't want to jinx it, and I don't want to get ahead of everything. I think Trump is if you look at the polls from 2016 and 2020, he's never been in the lead. And then you factor in how wrong they were, and you adjust for that, and that means he's winning. And he's winning by a lot, because if you got 312 Electoral College votes, that's a landslide. That's an Electoral College landslide right there. So I don't know what the hell Nate Silver's smoking right now. I really don't, because he's predicting Kamala Harris is going to win in a landslide. I have no idea what the hell he's smoking. These polls are too close. So then look at the trends of where they were, and Trump was doing better than the polls reflected. If that's the case, he's winning every single one of these swing states, every one. And they're going to win Minnesota, the Democrats. And who the hell cares? Because that's not even a swing state in my mind. So I don't even count that. They got Tubby Boy Waltz, you know, the Midwestern doofus, and they're going to win Minnesota, and who cares? Trump's doing really, really well. But, you know, he keeps winning on the legal front, too. So appellate judges in New York say New York Attorney General Letitia James may have exceeded her legal authority. 5-judge panel. heard Trump's appeal of a lower court judge's penalty for allegedly inflating the value of his real estate assets to obtain better loan terms where there were no victims in the case. Nobody got harmed. The banks were happy to lend him the money. Banks were dying to lend him the money. They were very happy to do it. And none of the banks complained. Nobody sued Trump civilly. This was the state going after him saying that Mar-a-Lago was only worth $18 million. $18 million. I know people that have docks of the Jersey Shore that are worth more than $18 million. A friggin' dock. They dock their boat to. This got a little house on it. You can get one of those for $18 million at the Jersey Shore these days. Mar-a-Lago is a beautiful estate with a membership and a private club, and it's right on the water, and I've been there, and it's beautiful. It's worth a hell of a lot more than $18 million. I mean, hell, you can't get a condo at the Jersey Shore for $18 million in this day and age. But anyway, this five-judge panel noted, they said, I'm sorry, what's being described sounds an awful lot like a potential commercial dispute between private actors. One of the justices noted that the AG is going into an area that wasn't intended for her jurisdiction, and that the court may need to impose guardrails on the attorney general's power. Well, you have these attorneys general that do this all the time. They exceed their authority and their power for their political ambitions. So, yeah, if a bank loaned Trump money and the bank felt like he inflated the value of that asset, and the bank didn't get repaid, and the bank wanted to sue him civilly, but that didn't happen. And none of the banks complained, and none of them lost money. They all got their money back. They made money on the deals. So there were no victims in this, and the judges are going, hey, I'm sorry, but this looks like the kind of thing that would have been a commercial dispute played out in civil court. You know, where you got, I don't know, Bank of America suing Trump for inflating the value of the assets, but then you'd have to say, well, what's the harm? Did you not get paid back? Well, we did get paid back. So then the case would be dismissed right there. So Justice David Friedman concurred with that and said, you've got two really sophisticated parties in which no one lost any money. No one lost money. Who's upset by this? The banks lent him the money and the banks made money. So nobody lost any money. Trump didn't lose. Everybody's happy. So where is the crime here exactly? Explain that to me. The prior cases brought under the state civil fraud law involve corporate actions with large numbers of putative victims, such as banks bilking customers. You don't have anything like that here, one of the justices said. There has to be some limitation to what the attorney general can do in interfering with these private transactions where people don't claim harm, said Justice Peter Moulton. He added that the immense penalty in this case is troubling, given that the parties left these transactions happy about how things went down. You know, this could result in what would be an outstanding resolution to all this would be Letitia James getting a big slap from this court going, hey, we are sick and tired of you prosecutors exceeding your authority for your political ambitions. Because that's exactly what happened in this case, 100%. She literally campaigned for office on her pledge to go after Donald Trump for something, for anything. She didn't have a reason. She just said, we're going to get Trump. That was her campaign plan, to get Trump. Her method that she used was to select an unpopular target first and look for evidence to file charges. Trial Judge Arthur Engoron also allowed some highly dubious estimates of Mr. Trump's allegedly ill-gotten gains. But the job of the appellate court is to take a detached look at how the law is applied to protect due process, especially for politically unpopular defendants. Doing so in this case is crucial for the rule of law and future defendants in New York State. I would love it. I would love it, and so should everybody who cares about civil liberties in this country, if this court comes back and does a giant slap to Letitia James and says, back the hell off. You exceeded your authority. You went way too far here, and you had no right to do what you did. None. No right to do what you did here. So that would be great if that happens. That would be fantastic. John Kerry wants to go after freedom of speech. But first, let me play a Bill Maher and his how the audience responded here as we are on our 6 o'clock hour. And I messed up the time earlier, so I'm sorry that we came back so late this hour, but I was on a tangent. I was on a rant about working men and women in this country. But Bill Maher admits the United Nations is a joke. And now the panelists quickly jumped all over him, Ian Bremmer and Yuval Noah Harari. But Bill Maher's right. And this is exactly what Javier Milei was saying. And who are the, by the way, DeSantis, do you know Ian Bremmer and Yuval Noah Harari? Did you study about them at Harvard?
Ian Bremmer is like an expert in foreign policy, but Yuval Noah Harari, yeah, he's written a couple of really popular books. Homo Deus, I think, was the last one that he wrote.
Homo Deus?
It was about biotech and its impact on the human race, I believe. Anyway, he has a new book out, which is probably why he was on Bill Maher's show.
And is he a lefty?
Yeah, I would say moderate left. I really like his books, though. I think he's a really good writer.
What about Ian Bremmer? Where would he stand on the political spectrum?
He's more moderate, I would say. I don't think either one of them is considered a progressive or far left by any stretch of the imagination.
So then why did they disagree with him on his stance on the UN, you think?
Well, Harari is more to the left. I don't know. I assume that
they love the globalists.
I think they're both just proponents of international.
The hookers that go to the UN meetings. Come on, you know, if I was a pros, if I was a working girl, sex worker is the appropriate term nowadays, I'd be all over that UN. Kidding me?
Probably make a pretty decent buck.
Oh,
it's like
hell yeah!
The Super Bowl, basically.
I'd be all over the UN. It's a sex worker's dream, the UN. Everybody comes there with all that foreign cash and the dollar goes a long way. You know what I mean? So, you think I'm kidding? All these international pervs? Come on, you know I'm right about this point.
I think you probably are, because I remember reading how like prostitution is a booming business in whatever town the Super Bowl is in every year. I assume that when you have a bunch of high-profile people cluttered into one area, then yeah, there's going to be some unsavory characters that follow.
You know, all those Dubai guys come in and have women for the week, the whole week there at the UN. You know that, right? Champagne, bottle service at all the VIP strip clubs, all of it. All that Dubai money? Come on.
Oh, the strip clubs are doing well. I'm certain of that.
Oh, hell yeah, they are. Private bottle service for the Dubai delegation. Here's Bill Maher saying the quiet part out loud. Good for him. Cut 12.
The UN, everybody I know who's in New York, like Fran was, they all hate this. I mean, all these political nepo babies and dictators and potentates around the world flying in, tying up traffic, doing God knows what. Again, the hookers all fly in.
Thank you.
The UN, true or false, put it this way. The UN is a joke.
False. False.
Let me finish. The UN is a joke and a corrupt one, but there's no sense getting rid of it because we would just reinvent it again. But it is a joke.
Number one, I mean, we're New Yorkers and we have no problem walking. We love the subway. It's not a problem that there's traffic. We know how to deal with that.
You love the subway?
We're okay with the subway. Subway's fast, it's cheap, it's cleaner than it used to be. It's okay.
Yeah, I used to take it. I didn't love it.
It's okay. Number two, the United Nations is a place where the world actually gets together and talks. This is a world that increasingly people are isolated. People are focusing on what they hate or what they like. If you actually had this meeting four times a year as opposed to just once, you'd have more movement towards diplomacy.
You'd have more hookers.
Yes! He's right. You have more hookers. He's 100% right about that. Joe in Westchester wants to make a comment about Yuval Noah Harari. Yes, Joe.
Yeah, hey, Rich. I just want to weigh in here. That guy is extreme left. He is Klaus Schwab's lieutenant. He's all about the World Economic Forum. He's about depopulation. That guy is scary evil.
Yeah. And DeSantis is a... What do you think about DeSantis giving him a moderate rating?
I said moderate left.
He's not moderate left, man. He's going to be part of the whole new world order. You know, do more research on that guy. Yeah, he's a good writer, and he sells a lot of books, but find out what his real agenda is, and you guys will be frightened about who he really is.
Well, I'm on your side, Joe. I think DeSantis is out of his friggin' mind. I'm on your side.
Well, I'll admit I don't know what his agenda is, but I can tell you I read Sapiens. That's the one that he's most famous for, and I read Homo Deus, and I didn't think either one was necessarily
nerd.
Like uber progressive.
Nerd. Nerd.
Aside from those books, they're good books. They're very good books. Homo Deus is.
I feel like Ogre right now in Revenge of the Nerds. I just want to start yelling it. Nerds!
Check out some of his videos. You'll learn all about them.
All right, Joe, that's great. We got an assignment from Matt DeSantis. Matt, track down his Klaus Schwab, Bond villain loving WEF takeover of the world so that we can show his real stripes. Because, I mean, he defended the UN. So that to me is enough right there. Guilty as charged.
There you go.
Well done, Joe. Well done, buddy. Thank you very much. Yeah, I mean, I think that I but I knew I, this was a setup to DeSantis because I knew he read him at Harvard. I knew it. I knew it.
He was very popular there.
And not only that, those guys tie up traffic and then none of them pay their friggin' parking tickets either. As they have diplomatic immunity. It's just been revoked. Name that movie. Anyone? Lethal Weapon 2.
Oh, wait. Yeah,
come
I did know that. I knew that. I did know that. I needed another second to think.
Diplomatic immunity. Boom. It's just been revoked. It's a great scene. Great scene. See, I don't know all these fancy books, but I know good movie scenes. Am I right? Yes, I am. Absolutely. All right. We got a lot more to get down and talk about here as the show progresses, including, you know, explain to me how Kamala Harris can say she's for small business when some of her policies would literally destroy small businesses. Plus, Bill Maher, again, to his credit, shuts down a wacko lefty guest on his own show. And Saturday Night Live says the quiet part out loud about Joe Biden, how he was shoved out of the race. What's happening here? A lot's happening. That's what. Don't go away.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no. I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This is Jean Marie Laskus with the podcast Cement City. So there's this election coming up, a big one, and one guy's been indicted. People are talking voter fraud. Democracy itself is on the line. Sound familiar? Well, this isn't that election. This one is in Denora, Pennsylvania, a dying town in the middle of nowhere, where I bought a house and stayed for 3 years. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I'll tell you what. I love when the truth is told. I do. It makes me very, very happy. Like RFK Jr., who exposed the Federal Reserve, the creature from Jekyll Island, and he was on Tulsi Gabbard's, or at a campaign event with Tulsi Gabbard, and he said this, and good for him for saying this. I'm going to play this clip in a second. There's some breaking news. California Governor Gavin Newsom just signed a bill that would ban local governments in the state of California from establishing local laws requiring residents to show identification to vote. So, California wants to go above and beyond, making it a state law that no town can require ID to vote in the Democrat hellhole known as California. RFK Jr. exposed the Federal Reserve, and he's right. Absolutely right about this point. And I think that you can blame the Fed for so much of what's gone wrong with our economy, in addition to Biden's trillions of dollars in spending. But the Fed has way too much power, way too much control. And this is him with Tulsi Gabbard. Cut 18.
The Fed is like a pump. Its function, it operates on behalf of a few Wall Street banks. And its function is to act like a pump. It is literally strip mining the wealth and equity away from the American middle class, shifting it up where companies in this country and financial institutions, when I was a kid, they would go out, if you wanted to make an investment, they'd go out and look at all the factories. They'd go to Michigan, they'd go to Detroit, they'd go to other parts of our country, and they'd look at the factories and they'd say, what does the management team look like? What are the production figures? What are the financial figures? What is the bank book? What is the inventory? They look at that and then they make a financial bet. That doesn't happen today. The only thing they're focused on Wall Street is what is the Fed going to do next? And our country's been financialized. And we've allowed all of the industry to leave our country, and it's now in China. We've outsourced it.
That's a big reason why Trump appeals so much to the working class and the work. I saw Art Laffer was on with Larry Kudlow, and he said, you know, Trump's idea of a 15% corporate tax rate would be great for the economy. It would be absolutely great because it's expensive to do business in America. It's expensive to build in America. So it would be a great incentive for these companies. It would be a fantastic incentive for them. And would be really, really good. you got Shane Gillis doing Trump. I do love this, DeSantis. I got to tell you, this makes me laugh. But I think the guy who did Biden was pretty good on Saturday Night Live Saturday night. But what's funny about this skit is not just the guy's impression, which is, well, Dana Carvey was Dana Carvey. He came back and did Biden, right?
Yeah, I was just about to say, I think it was Dana Carvey.
Yeah, it was Dana
hard
Carvey.
To tell it was him. The makeup was great.
The great Dana Carvey, the man himself. I mean, the guy's a freaking legend. He came out, he did Biden, he does a great Joe Biden impression. But the fact that they're mocking what we all know, which is that they shoved this old guy, they got rid of him, and he didn't want to go. And that's what makes this so funny, I think, from Saturday Night Live over the weekend. And I mean, it's true. But I love Dana Carvey. He's great. He's one of the best. Cut 21.
Folks, that's right. A lot of people forget I'm president, including me. But guess what? And by the way, I think I did a pretty good job. I passed more bills than any president in history. But folks, we still got work to do, no joke. I'm being serious right now, come on. And guess what? And by the way, the fact of the matter is,
the rich don't pay their fair share.
They gotta pay their fair share. We gotta build back better. Build back the better part, the better. Build back the better. Can't believe it's not butter.
Thank you, Jabari. Thank you, Joe Biden. Thank you for putting country first and for handing over the reins.
I didn't want to. They made me. And guess what? And by the way, the fact of the matter is, no joke, this is serious right now. I mean, it's serious. Anyway, in conclusion, me and Vice President Harris are the same.
Oh, okay. Ha ha. Great stuff. Thank you, Joe. Thank you so much. Thank you. All right. Goodbye, Joe.
That's very good. Very, and they said it out loud. Dana Carvey, man, he's so good. Guy's a freaking legend. I heard a Fly on the Wall podcast with him, David Spade. They co-host it, and Dennis Miller on there, and it was a friggin' riot, man. It was great. Two things I wanted to mention. One is, so now let's do Shane Gillis doing Trump, because the guy who did Trump, and then I want to do a contrast between the guy who does Trump now on Saturday Night Live and Shane Gillis. So which one do you want to do? Let's do the guy on Saturday Night Live first. This is, who does it now? Is it Austin Johnson who does Trump? And Team Trump was not happy with this because they made, you know, jokes about the assassination on his life, which I get it is not particularly the kind of thing necessarily you would joke about, but cut 20.
Come on!
on back. We're having fun. We love my rallies, except when someone does a bing-bong, bing-bing-bing, right at me. You know, that happened because of the rhetoric of the radical left.
It's okay. He's all right, but I think Shane Gillis is better. Here's Shane Gillis doing Trump.
I miss the Trump speeches. For real, though, it was my favorite speech I've ever seen a president give. It was the night the United States killed the leader of ISIS. Trump comes out of the Situation Room at like midnight in the White House, and he walks down that fucking tunnel like he's and gives a press conference, like he's giving a post-game NBA just killed a guy press conference. He walks up in front of the entire world at midnight and just goes, Abu Bakar al-Baghdadi is dead. He died like a dog. And a fucking... I didn't change one word of that. That's what he opened with. And then he did 40 minutes. The speech is 40 minutes for no reason. It wasn't a prepared speech. He freestyled 40 straight. Not even a speech, just mean talk for 40. The meanest talk you've ever heard in front of the whole world. Abu, we could hear him crying. I said, Abu, don't cry.
Yeah, that's way better. Way
Let
better.
Let me tell you something. Abu cried. He cried quite a bit. I wouldn't have cried. Crybaby Baghdadi, that's what we were all calling.
Crybaby Baghdadi. Here's Trump mocking Kamala Harris over the weekend. He got blasted for this, but I think he's right. But people were not happy that he said this. They were not happy with him at all for saying this. Cut 16.
Kamala is mentally impaired. If a Republican did what she did... If a Republican did what she did, that Republican would be impeached and removed from office, and rightfully so, for high crimes and misdemeanors. That would be high crimes and misdemeanors. Think of it. 13,099 murderers, convicted of murder, not like convicted of murder. Some of the worst murders you've ever seen. They're all in our country now, every one of them. And I've been saying this for 3 years, and the fake news has been saying, well, you don't know that. Well, now we know it. They've never released a list like this. Not just on this. They've never done it. Over the years, they've never done it. She let in, and that's not even mentioning the rapists, the gang members, the drug dealers, the child predators, and the traffickers in women. In women, mostly women. Joe Biden became mentally impaired. Kamala was born that way. Okay. She was born that way. And if you think about it, only a mentally disabled person could have allowed this to happen to our country.
It's good. It's good. Hey, two things I want to mention here. First of all, there's an opinion piece in the Wall Street Journal by James Burnham and Yaakov Roth. Okay, so these two guys wrote this piece. Now, remember, I'm not a big fan of Eric Adams. I'm not a fan of him at all from a political perspective. But Burnham was the associate counsel to the president in 2017, deputy assistant attorney general in the Trump administration. Roth is a partner at Jones Day, and they both represented former Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell in his successful Supreme Court appeal, where the Supreme Court ruled unanimously that the bribery conviction of the governor was a prosecutorial overreach. I've told you that the only reason why they went after Eric Adams, and Trump was right when he said, I predict they're going to go after Eric Adams. I predicted it, too. The mayor of New York City is I don't like his politics, man. But the time that he stood up there and he said that they are destroying New York City by sending 10,000 illegal immigrants a day, that's when the Biden administration decided to go after the guy. But when they write this piece, and I don't have time to get into it in a lot of detail, but the bottom line is this. It is this notion that he did something to the benefit of the people that gave him campaign contributions. And they say the indictment tells a story of campaign donors and benefactors who received enhanced access and attention from an elected official. But that fact pattern could hardly be more routine. Lobbyists don't host and attend big dollar fundraisers so they can, you know, eat the rubber chicken and the hors d'oeuvres. They do that for the access. He says, they write, much ink has been spilled in recent years about the risks of willful rather than dispassionate law enforcement, but the risk resides at all levels of the justice system, not just the top, and there are a few bigger headlines than indicting the mayor of New York. Prosecutors are as human as their targets, and when their target is a high-profile guy like the mayor of New York, Eric Adams, the temptation to overreach is tremendous. Tremendous skepticism is warranted here. You don't have to like Eric Adams politically to question the Biden administration's Justice Department for going after him. Going after him in this manner, I think, is just simply because, once again, he got out of his lane. Now, they went after Menendez for the same thing. The difference is Menendez was dirty. I don't doubt that Eric Adams, you know, is probably a little bit of a shady guy, but people donate money to get access to politicians all the time, and to bribery. And the worst thing that they're arguing here in this particular case with Adams is that he helped the Turkish embassy get their friggin' fire inspection certificate. So I just think this is another example of Biden's weaponized Justice Department. And you have to be careful not to say, well, you know, if they go after a Democrat, that's good. No, it's not. If they go after somebody, it should be based on the law and not revenge, period. I don't think it's a cover for going after Trump. I think it's a giant, oh, you said we're destroying New York by sending you 10,000 migrants a day? Well, guess what? We're going to get you. We may lose, but we're going to make your life a living hell in the meantime. I really do believe that. I think that's how these people operate in this Justice Department under Merrick Garland. I completely believe that. National security officials who endorsed Kamala Harris are tied to intelligence agencies and defense contractors. Shocking, I know. Over 700 members of the National Security Leaders for America signed a letter endorsing Vice President Kamala Harris last week. But many of these officials are aligned with defense contractors and organizations pushing for U.S. involvement in foreign conflict. I'll give you more details on that upon my return. Quick break. We're coming right back. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right. By the way, Matt DeSantis, I wanted to ask you, how is cut number 28, this AI-generated Border Czar song that's gone viral? How is that? Is that good?
It's amazing, yeah, if you don't mind having a catchy tune stuck in your head for the remainder of the day.
But catchy, though? Like, in a good way?
Oh, it's great.
Yeah?
Oh, it's great. I love it, yeah.
All right, let's take a listen.
From the wackos on the left to the maggots on the right, they know I'm beating Kamala. This race won't even be tied. Her policies are nutso. She's out her goddamn mind. She just repeats the same thing, regurgitating her lines. She thinks that immigration without paperwork is good. Clearly not too much power underneath Kamala's hood. Borders are, it's what you are. Borders are, borders are. Cackling Kamala, you're dumb. Mass inflation imminent if she weasels herself in. If that don't sound like fun to you, then you better help me win. I promise I'll secure you, you'll be in better hands. It'd be a flippin' free-for-all with what Kamala plans. Borders are, it's what you are. Borders are, borders are. Laugh it up, Kamala. This lady, this lady, she's cackling crazy.
Fantastic.
Artificial intelligence may ultimately result in humankind's downfall, but for right now, it's pretty fun, I think.
Oh, that AI—that was AI that did that? It was great.
Yeah.
That was great. Oh, man. I saw Poppy Trumpo put it out, but do we know who actually was behind it?
I have no idea. Whoever it was is a genius.
Really, really good. Really good. And what's the My Rights political ad? What's that one?
That's one you sent me. This is an ad that's, I guess, being funded by WeDecidePA.com, and it's airing in Pennsylvania currently. It's quick if you want to hear it.
Sure, go ahead.
Politicians talk a lot about a woman's right to choose. I'm a woman. I'm a voter. But I have more than just one right. We have the right to send our kids to safe and successful schools. We have the right to walk in our neighborhoods without fearing for our lives. We have the right to watch our daughters play sports with other girls, not compete against men and share a locker room with them. On Election Day, I am exercising my right to vote Republican.
That's a good ad right there. Damn good ad. Well done. Excellent. Excellent. I don't know if I have time to play Horseface John Kerry, but he said the First Amendment makes it hard to have consensus in a democracy, and social media and free speech are posing the biggest roadblocks to those who want to, quote, protect democracy. I'll get to that tomorrow because I went way over on time and it's 6:50 and, you know, I got to. But let me focus on this piece here about the national security officials who endorsed Harris. I've told you the war machine loves Harris. These people who are behind this, the 700 people, the national security leaders for America, some of the officials voted for the U.S. invasion of Iraq, including former Secretaries of State John Kerry and Hillary Clinton, which amounted to a nearly $140 billion boon to private contractors. In addition to bureaucrats and veterans of the intelligence community, the list features numerous individuals affiliated with defense contractors, government-funded think tanks, and organizations partnered with arms manufacturers. The letter asserts Harris will defend democracy, while former President Trump will enable authoritarianism, touting her support for Ukraine. Harris recently toured a munitions factory in Pennsylvania with Zelensky. The letter does not mention that Russia invaded Ukraine during the Biden-Harris administration. America's national security requires a serious and capable commander-in-chief. That is why 741 national security leaders proudly endorsed Kamala Harris for president of the United States, they said on Twitter. But this list includes officials that are formerly or presently involved with the arms industry. For example, former Secretary of Homeland Security Jay Johnson, who serves on the board of directors of Lockheed Martin. Rear Admiral John Butler, who spent a decade at Lockheed Martin, including as vice president for Naval Strategic Systems. Sure, he still has a lot of stock, I would imagine. Former acting secretary of the Navy, Buddy J. Penn, who worked for Laurel Federal Systems, which was acquired by Lockheed in the early 1990s. The Naval Historical Foundation says in his biography. Lockheed Martin, which has seen tens of billions of dollars in new orders since the Russian invasion of Ukraine in October, and since the October 7th Hamas attack, isn't the only big name on the list. Raytheon, Northrop Grumman also have alumni that are supporting Kamala Harris. Former CIA Director and Deputy Secretary of Defense John Deutsch served as Director of Raytheon. Former National Geospatial Intelligence Agency Director Letitia Long was elected to Raytheon's board of directors in 2015. Brett Lambert, former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense, served as Vice President of Corporate Strategy for the defense contractor from 2015 to 2019, according to their website. If the endorsers are not directly tied to the arms industry, some are involved with organizations supported by major defense contractors, notably think tanks that influence U.S. national security and foreign policy. Over 50 of those who signed the letter endorsing Harris are members of the Council on Foreign Relations, which publishes Foreign Affairs and is a heavyweight in the D.C. influence industry. They're partnered with various companies from BlackRock to defense contractors. Lockheed Martin and Northrop Grumman are listed as bronze level members of the council. A bronze corporate membership is at least $50,000. And there's also the Homeland Security, former Secretary Janet Napolitano, former Undersecretary General of the UN, Catherine Bertini, more than a dozen of the officials are members of the Atlanta Council, which partnered with Lockheed, and it goes on and on. John Kerry, dozens of officials, and more and more. I'll get back to this tomorrow because I think it's an incredibly important story, or as Glenn Greenwald put it, the complete authoritarians who are backing Kamala Harris. Have a great rest of your night tonight. The great one, Mark Levin, is up next. Please keep the conversation going on X at Rich Zeoli and Instagram at Zeoli Show. We're back with you tomorrow. Don't forget, October 11th at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Mark your calendar, October 11th. I'll see you there. Thank you.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
Shop Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This is Jean Marie Laskus with the podcast Cement City. So there's this election coming up, a big one, and one guy's been indicted. People are talking voter fraud. Democracy itself is on the line. Sound familiar? Well, this isn't that election. This one is in Denora, Pennsylvania, a dying town in the middle of nowhere, where I bought a house and stayed for 3 years. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.